Okay. Thank you, Dee. My name is Heather. I am an alcoholic, and I am currently serving Western Washington Area 72 as their alternate delegate. I'm in the first year of my rotation, which might be why I'm still so enthusiastic. No, I thoroughly love general service. I recognize many of you from last week. So you heard my little pitch about how basically general service rocks, and that's just how I roll. And I really enjoy it. And I find that I enjoy it because that's how people showed me general service could be fun. And when it wasn't fun, at least it was satisfying and fulfills a need that I have within myself to give back. And I just have found that this is an area that I'm good at giving back in. Like, there's those people that are just those amazing 12 steppers, you know, those people that can have like 15 sponsees and they just have time for every single one of them. And I'm like, holy smokes, how do you do that? You're amazing. Or those people that have that passion for corrections work or treatment work or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I just found I really have a passion for general service, for being that voice of my group or now my area, as I continue to serve. And it's pretty cool. Like I said last week, I don't like to be the dumbest person in the room. And so that meant that I tried to do as much as I could to educate myself on what the heck I was doing, so I could do a good job. And so that's what I think you're doing here today. I don't think any one of you ever want to feel like the dumbest person in the room. So hopefully I can give you some information that will help you better along your journey as a general service representative. One thing I am going to try to do today, and if I don't, I'm sure, I hope Dee or someone will, you know, let me know. I'm going to try not to speak in AA speak, in service speak. I'm going to spell things out. I'm not going to say terms like PI and CPC and GSC and all that stuff, because that's not cool. I don't expect all of you to know anything that I just said right there. Some of you might know some of those words. You might've heard them before, but I think that's one way that we lose a lot of people when they first embark in general service is, I shouldn't say I will talk in service speak and forget that that person might not know what the heck I'm talking about. So I'm going to strive to do that. Probably slip up, but Dee will catch me. The other thing too, I just want to point out, I will say general service rep or GSR, because I hope all of you know what GSR means. It's general service representative. If not, you're still in the right place. But when I say that, I mean alternate as well. Just because I'm not saying alternate every single time does not mean you get a pass. If you are an alternate GSR, everything I'm saying for GSR applies to you. Because that's just how I look at alternates and how I've been raised up to look at alternates. So you're not really an alternate. You're right in that GSR's back pocket, and you hopefully are going to be ready and able to step up and do the job if the GSR is ever not there. But so lucky you, if you've been elected alternate GSR, gosh darn it, you have to stay sober 4 years. Shoot. You know, I bet, you know, that's tough. You know, I joke every time I get a new service position, it's like, oh, darn it, I have to stay sober 2 more years. So if you've been elected alternate GSR, just in case you weren't aware, the GSR and the alternate GSR term is generally a 2-year term. It's not one of those 6-month positions or 3 months or even 1 month, it's 2 years. So if you're alternate, you know, hopefully in theory, you will then stand and be elected for GSR. So you know, we're looking at 4 years sober. So that's pretty cool. I'm very happy for you. That's a great gift that you get to give yourself and your family. So what I did is I have taken the information that I normally present with my GSRs in Western Washington, and I stripped out all the stuff that's specific to my area. And I'm just going to talk about things where it doesn't matter where you are serving. It should apply to you and it should be helpful to you along your journey. So that's my goal. I'm also, well, you'll see, because sometimes we use different words Like when I say the word quarterly in my area, it might be an assembly in your area. So I'll kind of explain what I mean when I say these things, because each area, we do the same stuff. We just might have different words for it. So I will do my best to explain those kind of things, because I've found that every area is different, and it's beautiful, and I love it. Just like every group is different. And so there's that. So today I am going to spend our time talking about, like, and this is really basic, because what is general service? What is the GSR? And then the foundation, like, who are the players? Like, where, what is our service structure? I didn't even know we had a service structure. What does that service structure look like? What does it mean to be a GSR within that service structure? Like, what's my role? And kind of how we all interact with each other. So there's that. And then I'll see where we're at on time, because next week I want to spend the bulk of our time on what the duties are and how you can accomplish those duties. And that will take the whole time for sure. But I really wanted to lay a foundation. So it does me no good to explain what your duties are if you have no idea how to accomplish those duties within a structure you've never heard of. For some of you, this might be incredibly rudimentary for you. And lucky you, you know, you'll be a gold star head of the class for the day. But, you know, I look at this as there's people here that just probably found out they were elected GSR at the last business meeting. And there's some of you who might have had the luxury of being an alternate GSR for 2 years, and now you're in your last year as your rotation as a GSR. So you should be pretty much a pro. But I hope that regardless of where you are in your journey, that you'll find something new and useful and helpful to you. So that being said, one thing I always like to do is empower you to know where you can get all the information I'm talking about today, because I'm not always going to be here, but there's websites that have this information. So I want to show you where it's at, so that you can get it whenever you want. So I'm going to share my screen really quick, and I'm going to go to, we're going to share here. I don't want that email, but we're going to go to AA.org. Okay. So that's AA.org is the website for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm going to scroll down to 4 AA members. And then I'm going to scroll down a little bit, and there's information for GSRs and DCMs. I'm going to scroll again. And then if I click on GSR, okay. And then a full list of items here. Here's all, there's so much great information in this. And I'll explain GSR kit in just a moment here, but these are all the documentation that comes in the GSR kit. But the really cool part is you can click on any of these links and you can open up the pamphlet. So it's pretty neat stuff, and you can pull up the service manual. So anyways, for those of you who really, I'm gonna stop sharing really quick so I can see your shiny, happy faces. So for those of you who like the online platform to look at stuff, that's definitely where you wanna go. So many of you GSRs should get a GSR kit in theory at some point in your rotation. Now, I'm not sure how it works in your area, so I suggest you talk to your DCM or your district committee member on how to go about getting your GSR kit. In my area, you GSRs either get that information to their alternate DCM or to their district registrar, and then that person gets it to our area registrar, and then that person gets it to the general service office. And then in 6 to 8 weeks, a GSR kit magically arrives at their doorstep. Okay. So have any of you received your GSR kit? Something like, you can raise your real hand. Any of you? So Jessica has it, Lewis, Teresa. Okay. So some of you, so if you're and just so you know, if you're an alternate GSR, you don't get a kit. It's only the GSR who gets one, but, all that information I just showed you is exactly what comes in there. So you can access it yourself. You can purchase your own GSR kit if you would like. If you have a central service office or an intergroup office near you, or however your area, your district is purchasing literature, you can get them. They're under $20 to purchase. Or you could just ask a past GSR, like, hey, do you still have your kit? And this, some, don't be a GSR like me who actually never opened their kit until they were done being GSR. I'm more I do as I say, not as I do. No, I'm much better now, but I didn't open it. And so like, I literally could have just handed it to someone. So anyways, there's usually plenty of those around. So if you like a physical, tangible copy, that's the way to go about getting it. So, and that is just really useful, helpful information for you as a GSR. And that's also where a lot of the information I'm talking about today comes from, that documentation. Also, I hope your new best friend, if it isn't already, is your service manual. There's different colors. This is the most current color. The new one will be coming out in the fall and it will be red. But now you might be looking at this and be like, holy crap, there's this huge book and it's got all these appendices and it's got tiny writing and this is a bit overwhelming. If you can just read like the first 2 to 4 chapters, you'll be so much farther along than it just, if you can just read the first at least 2, if not 4 chapters, it'll really, really help you along your journey. A lot of what I'm talking about today will make more sense. Of course, if you want to read the whole book or join a service manual study, there's plenty of them around. I strongly encourage you to do that. It really wasn't a thing when I was a GSR. Now it's this thing, which is so great because I love that our GSRs are getting involved in service manual studies, because I didn't get involved in any of that until I was an area elected officer. And I wish I would have, got involved in that a little earlier, because I felt like I was playing catch up. So if you're involved in that already, you are ahead of the class. So there's definitely that. So I just want to like let you know where the resources are, so that when we're not together, you can continue to educate and empower yourself. And also to show that like, I didn't make this stuff up. This is not from Heather's head. This is legit from AA, not from me. So first of all, I want to share my screen again. I'm all about sharing my screen today. I'm going to share just a few pictures. I'm only sharing pictures. So let me do presentation. That's prettier. Okay. So, because I promised you guys and gals and folks, I would show you kind of like where's a GSR, general service rep, do I fit in all this? First of all, I want to talk about our circle and triangle. And again, this, some of you probably already know this backward and forward, but you know, it's through unity and the 12 traditions that AA groups recover. It's through the 12 steps that individual members recover. And then it's through service and the 12 concepts that AA World Services recover. And so I love this quote from Bill. By the first, we recover from alcoholism. By the second, we stay together in unity. And by the third, our society functions and serves the primary purpose of carrying the message to all who need it and want it. So the circle and triangle actually has meaning. It's not just something pretty on a coin that we get on our birthdays. There's quite a bit of meaning behind it. So recovery, unity, and service. And it's really great. It's, you know, I'm assuming that most of you are at least somewhere on your journey through recovery within the 12 steps. And you have a home group because you've been elected a GSR. And so that in theory means you're attending your group conscience or business meeting. So you're seeing traditions in action within your home group. And so now you are participating in the service side of the triangle. So that's pretty great. It's, I don't know, service is where the happy people are, in my opinion. And so, so general service is really, and this was hard for me to grasp when I first started getting involved, because it just, my group is very active and they do a lot of stuff and they help a lot of alcoholics. And I just couldn't quite see why it was so necessary to have this structure. But then as I look and see, it's like, my group can't publish the big book. My group is not going to manage the phones for Seattle. You know, my group, you know, isn't going to go do all the public information and the cooperation with the professional community or the corrections work. We can't. We're a single group with a handful of members. We don't have the bandwidth to do that. And so that's why there was a need, or is a need, for some sort of structure that helps make 12-step work possible. And I think that's something that took me a minute to catch up with, is in the general service, I'm not necessarily doing 12-step work. I'm doing things that help make 12-step work possible. And so for an instant gratification junkie like me, who loves that, like that moment that the newcomer, their eyes like sparkle and they get it, that's not the kind of high you're going to get from general service usually, or at least I don't, because I don't generally get to see the results of the work that I'm doing. It, you know, I might hear about it 6 months later, or like I'm just a puzzle piece in, you know, the 1,000-piece puzzle of that day. I'm not the actual puzzle. So that makes any sense. But so it's pretty neat stuff. So we have this structure. Great. So, and you are a general service rep and you're like, great. I don't even know what that means. Like, I wasn't at the business meeting, so they elected me. That kind of stuff. Or so maybe some of you walked in with eyes wide open and you knew exactly what you were getting involved in. And I'm very jealous of you. But the general service rep, the GSR's job, the primary job, is to be your group's link between AA as a whole. That's your primary job. Sounds pretty easy. There's a lot to it. And again, I'm so grateful you're here, because I really think groups do a better job of training up their coffee makers than they do training up their GSRs. You know, if the coffee isn't made right, I guarantee the next week someone will be in there with the coffee maker, making sure they get it done right, because no one messes with an alcoholic's coffee. But I've seen groups, and my group's done this, where we've let our poor GSRs just flounder for months, like being like, oh, they'll get it. They'll learn. And so it doesn't have to be that hard. Okay. So again, glad you're here. So, okay. So your job as a GSR is to be the communication link between AA as a whole. Okay. What the heck does that mean? What is AA as a whole? So I'm going to share my screen again really quick. Show you some more pretty pictures. Okay. Oh man, just a sec. Let me try that again. Okay, there we go. I am special. Okay. Let's do screen share. Okay, so this is the service structure you got, and I'm sure many of you have seen this. Those of you who actually have cracked open your service manual have seen this. It's in there, but you got the AA groups, and the groups elect the GSR, and the GSRs go to the district. And the district elects a DCM, or a district committee member. And depending on the depending on the event, either the DCM or district committee member goes to area events, but the area assemblies, the group GSRs and the districts send their DCMs, their district committee members. So the Ds of their group, because D is a DCM. But they go to the area assemblies and they vote on matters that affect their area, as well as they help prepare their delegate, who we'll talk about more in a bit, who we send to the General Service Conference. And then there's the General Service Board. And the little tiny writing is AA World Services and AA Grapevine. And those are our two boards that we have at the General Service Office. And so it's this upside down, this inverted triangle. And But I prefer this next picture a little better because I like this. It's the same thing, but just laid out a little differently. So you have a lot of these groups, and these groups send their reps. And then so smaller groups of people, and they go to the General Service Conference. And so there's less and less and less people involved as we go down the triangle. But I hope that if it doesn't make sense today, that it does by the time you rotate on from your role as GSR, is realizing how you and your group's voice is heard and is important and makes a difference. Because it really does. It really does. Like, you as general service reps are electing the delegate from your area that goes to the General Service Conference that makes decisions that affect AA as a whole. Like, let that sink in for a sec. Like, that's pretty neat stuff. So, at least I think it's really neat stuff. But yeah, pretty pictures. The next thing, I just want to show you another thing about the general service structure, because a lot of people like pictures. But again, this is kind of a breakdown of the, so you got the groups and the GSR and the districts and the assemblies and the delegates going to the General Service Conference, just like we talked about in the first two slides. But then those delegates are part of different conference committees. So the conference committees, you have all these different ones, and I'm not going to say them all because that's just annoying. But you got agenda, you got public information, you got grapevine, and so on. And then there's also a board, which I'll talk about in a little bit here. But those are primarily alcoholics, but we do have non-alcoholics on our board. They have trustees committee, and we have our delegates and we have our trustees. Okay. So they, it's pretty neat stuff. Pretty neat stuff. So I just want to show you that pretty picture here, because this will make sense in a little bit here. But I am going to pause the share, stop share. Okay. So now you might be like, hey, I still don't quite get it. Thanks for those pretty pictures, Heather. But so what? And that's okay. I get it. Okay, you're supposed to be the voice of your group, the one that is the information link between your group and these different, I can't even say the find the word, what, different different entities within our service structure. There we go. So sounds great. How do I do that? Okay. So part of it is, I can't express the importance of being both feet into your home group. So, because to be the voice of my home group, I have to know my home group. So that means that I get to actually regularly attend my home group. And you know, you might be saying like, well, of course I attend my home group, but some GSRs like don't realize like, no, I really need to go like all the time. And I need to attend my business meetings and be there the whole time. And for some of you as GSR, and we'll talk about this a lot more next week, but you might have found out when you're elected GSR that, oh, you get to chair your business meeting. So there's that too. It depends on your group conscience around that. My home group, we don't make our GSR do that, but a lot of home groups give their GSR the opportunity to do that. So it kind of depends on your home group conscience around that. So, but then there's the other stuff, the meeting before and after the meeting, the stuff that your group, if your group does anything like celebrates birthday night, goes out to dinner, goes to a baseball game, has picnics, I don't know, whatever unity things that your home group is doing, at least while you're GSR, I hope you don't miss any of those events if it can be avoided. Because that's how I was able to really get to know my home group members, because there's going to be times, or there were times when I was GSR, and I'm sure you'll have a similar experience, is there would be times where I'd be asked to make a decision. Well, maybe I don't have time. Maybe there isn't time for me to take it back to my group. How am I going to be the voice of my group if I'm not actually attending my group? And if I don't know my group, and how am I going to feel comfortable about that? And also, like, how am I going to feel comfortable reporting back what I did to my group if, like, I don't know my group? So again, it's super important to know the home group members. So there is that. So I'm knowing my home group members. So I'm taking their voice because I know them really well. And so I'm taking any group concerns, any group questions to my district. And my district meeting is, and all of you should have your own district that you get to attend monthly. And I don't know if it's in person or on Zoom right now. And hopefully you know your DCM, your district committee member. They are the person that chairs your district meeting that, you know, basically facilitates the conversation. And you're going to be reporting back what's going on with your group to them and to the whole district. And oftentimes they will ask you to take things back to your group. It might be district level things, like maybe your district wants to spend money on something, or usually it's money. It's usually money stuff, but there's other stuff like that they might ask you district wise to take back to your group. But also things that you're going to be asked to take back to your group are things from your area. So you have your groups, and then the groups all go to a district, and those are geographic based. So like, I'm part of my home group is in Berrien, Washington, and my home group is part of District 31, because we have 42 districts in Western Washington. And out of those 42 districts, then we also have an area. So your district, usually at least quarterly, is sending your district committee member, and possibly you, depending on how your area is structured. You might have 4 area assemblies a year. You might have 2. You might just have 1. I'm not sure. You're going to want to ask your district committee member, your DCM, what that looks like for your area. In my area, we only have 1 assembly a year, where everybody meets and everybody has a vote. And everybody have a vote, I mean, every GSR, every district committee member in the area appointed and elected. So that's what I mean by everybody. Sorry. But depending on the frequency of those, you are going to be asked to talk about area related things that have to do within your area. Like, I know within my area right now, one of the things that that's going to be on the July quarterly agenda is a motion to create an online only district within our area. So we're going to be voting to put that on our assembly agenda. And if we do, we will be voting on that in October. But I can guarantee that the district committee members are going to be asked to bring that information back to their groups, their GSRs, to ask them to start talking, to be sure to be talking about that with their groups, to find out how they feel about this topic and what they think about that. So each area is different and has different things to discuss. So you're going to be asked to talk about area things. And also, there's more. You don't just get to talk about that stuff. There's AA as a whole things coming from the General Service Conference. I'm sure some of you, if not most of you, are already hearing about what happened at the General Service Conference that just happened in April. It was on Zoom, where we sent our delegates and they went. But before that, they had the agenda that was going to be talked about. And it was really great. Like, I hope that your delegate, and I'm sure they did, if you were GSR at that time, was able to get you that information and you were able to have conversations about it and talk about the different things. And it was a big agenda this year. There was a lot of stuff on there, a lot of literature items. We're getting a brand new service manual. I'm so excited. But they asked the delegate, asked all of our groups to talk about it and provide their feedback to them. So it's a give and take. It's a flow of information. Like, the delegate gave us the information, gave us the topics, gave us the background, just like the area does and the district does. You're given the topic, you're given as much background, you take it back to your group, and then you send your feedback back to them. And it's one of these things where I laugh about it now, but I heard someone say a snap judgment in Alcoholics Anonymous takes 2 years. So just be prepared for a lengthy discussion process, no matter what the topic. Because like what I just described probably takes 3 months for each item. At least like they, the DCM hears about it. Let's say at the July quarterly, they bring that information back to you. You may or may not have your district meeting in July, so you might have to wait till August. You get that information. You take it back to your group. You talk about it for a month or two. You bring it back to your district. Your district then takes it back to the area. And I swear by then a minimum of 3 months has passed. So it's just one of those things where it took me a minute to kind of realize the process. Again, there's not a lot of instant gratification happening in these situations. But it's really cool to like watch that process happen and to play a part in it. And I can't wait till you're able to go to your first area assemblies if you haven't gone already, and to see and just experience the, when a vote happens and, you see everybody around, come to substantial unanimity around an idea, whether it's pass or fail, we're united. And when that happens, and to watch that happen. But so it's a lot of information sharing. What else do I want to talk about? The players. Oh, I want to talk about, because I talked quite a bit. I want to talk a bit about the, not just the players, but the structure in kind of your timeline, because I think that's important to explain to you. So I'm going to start in January of like, say the first year of a rotation. So in January, there's usually an area, most areas in either January or February will have either it's a quarterly or an assembly or like an area committee meeting. I've heard different areas call it those three things, and they're all basically the same thing. But it's like a gathering where information is discussed. Mostly it's area specific information. There's of course a report from your delegate, but it's mostly the business of your area where you live that's being discussed. It might be a budget meeting, maybe, depending on your area. So, and then you have district meetings, January, February, March. In March, you will most likely have some sort of what's called a pre-conference. That is where the delegate is bringing back the conference items, the agenda, and giving you the agenda and the background information. Now, how you get that looks, again, different every area. My area has regional pre-conferences. So little, like, basically we send our delegate to these areas so the GSR doesn't have to travel as far. So we have like four of them, smaller ones where we get discussion, where I know a lot of areas will just have like an assembly and they'll get all the GSRs and the area committee together. It'll be one meeting, one day, boom, get it done, do that. Your area might do something totally different. I'm not sure, but those are kind of the two main ways I hear areas do it. So that happens in March. And then you are, however your delegate asks, you are supposed to get your group input to send back to them so they're prepared for the conference that generally happens in April. Sometimes it's in May, but like this year it was in April. So also in April, depending on how your area is structured, you might have another quarterly or an assembly in April. And then the delegate goes to the conference, yay. And then in May, oh, and just to say you have a district meeting every month, so I don't have to keep saying that. So then May is when your delegate's back and they'll start putting on delegate reports or post-conference reports. And I know in my area, we're going to have a couple of them from our delegate, But I know like in Biddy's area, area 18 in Idaho, they had an assembly where their delegate gave a report to the whole body, including all the GSRs. And it was one report, one day, boom, done. So that happens in May, June. Then July, they're probably having another area quarterly or an assembly. And again, it's usually dealing with the business of your area, your specific area. And then in August, usually it's, well, there's usually a lot of picnics is really what's going on. But in addition to picnics, there is oftentimes a push to prepare the GSRs for the fall assembly. So what that looks like in your area might be different. In my area, we have what's called pre-assemblies, where we put on several regional pre-assemblies where we discuss the motions and discussion topics that are going to be on our assembly agenda with the GSRs. But again, this is definitely something you're going to want to go over with your DCM if they haven't gone over it with you already, because, you know, again, every area is different. And then September, hopefully, you're just getting the kids off to school and just doing some business as usual in AA. And then October, sometimes in September, but October is your fall assembly usually. And that happens. And during non-election years, you are usually just handling the business. You might also be dealing with budget. Depending on your area, you might deal with your area budget in the fall. Some areas deal with the budget in January. It kind of just depends. And then basically the second year rotation, you do that all over again, except for at your fall assembly, it's an election assembly and you elect your next rotation. You elect your delegate, your alternate delegate, your area chairperson, your area treasurer. And then depending on your area, you might have an alternate treasurer, an alternate chair. You might elect a secretary. Just a sec. My son just kind of, hey, honey, I'm on a Zoom meeting. Oh yeah, go away. I love you.
Puppy attack.
Dylan, I'm being recorded. Please. Okay. That's my puppy. And that's my son.
Hello. Okay. I've come to invade.
Goodbye. I love you. Okay. Okay. Oh, yes. I love my son. He thinks Zoom is hysterical. So where was I? Elections. Just one moment. Let me pause myself for a sec.
That's so cute. I had that happen right before the meeting. So there we go. So for those of you that are asking me while we're waiting on her to come back, in the link, in the chat, you will find everything you need. You will find the service manual you guys are asking about. Go ahead, Heather, take a few moments. We will find the service manual you're talking about, the recording for today and also last week. All the reference material that she's talked about so far, it'll all be in a file. Everything that you guys are asking about privately to me on the chat while she's been talking, all of that you can go ahead and save to take home. It's right there in a file. And as we update it and add these recordings, you'll be able to access it and re-listen to it as well. Okay, I stalled for you.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Well, at least he still talks to me. So I'll take it. I'll take it. Okay, so again, thank you for your patience with me. That was an overview of the structure. Now, again, every area is unique. There's no area that does things exactly the same way. Like every time I talk to someone, I'm like amazed. I'm like, how do you get anything done? That sounds so crazy. And then they hear how I talk about how we do business and they're like, how do you get anything done? That's crazy. But it works. It works for my area. What Idaho does works for Idaho. What, you know, Dee's area does for her, it works. And so this is definitely something that you are going to want to talk to your DCM or ask your DCM about if they haven't already explained. They probably have. I hope they have. If they haven't, they should. Because, you know, there's a lot of places. So you might be like, Heather, like, am I supposed to be at all that stuff? Well, not everything. You don't have to be at everything. You are more than likely welcome and invited to everything that I just talked about. You most likely have a voice. You can get up to the mic and talk. You can participate in discussions. You can listen to everything. But at some of these things, depending on how your area is structured, at some of these events, you might not have a vote at that event. So, but still, it's cool to go. That's how I got hooked in general service. So I was told, you know, I told you guys last week, I was told I was going to potluck and it was actually an area quarterly, and which you guys might call an assembly. And I didn't, you know, I didn't have a vote and it wasn't a potluck, but I loved it. And so I've been going ever since. But so, and especially with, again, depends on what's going on in your area, but still a lot of the stuff is still on Zoom. So what a great opportunity to stick your toe in, go to events that you might not have to go to. I strongly encourage going to, well, first of all, we don't have to do anything anymore. We're sober. Isn't that great? But we get to. But so all the things that you, where your attendance isn't expected, I hope that you will check out. And not just these kind of things, but if your area, I strongly encourage GSRs to attend any sort of standing committee quarterlies or committee meetings that you have in your area, such as corrections or treatment or public information or archives or any of those kind of committees. Just because I don't know if you realize this, but it was kind of a shock to me, but GSRs rotate out after 2 years. And what's their next job? Well, one of them might be an alternate DCM or even a DCM, but then most of you are going to be committee chairs or doing committee work. Like if you look at, if you're at your district meeting and you've been going for a minute, you might look around and realize like, hey, I think those people were GSRs last rotation. Huh, that's kind of neat. And then it's like, and so again, it's to help you be able to go into that situation with a little more eyes wide open. Check out the different committees, see what you have a passion for, see what's interesting or sounds fun to you. Or you might think your district really just needs help with, because hopefully general GSR is just the first of many service positions where you just never seem to be done. Because I mean, I started this, like that giant that just came home who's 17, he was 5 when I started. So, I mean, it's a journey. It's a really great journey that I'm excited that you're embarking on. You know, I really want to, I think there's going to be a lot of questions. Dee, are there a lot of questions? No?
Not yet, but that is your cue to start sending them now.
Yeah, because okay. One thing, thank you, Dee, because one thing is I can always yammer more after I get your questions answered. But normally when I do these, like I pause after each little segment and ask questions. So John, you are going to want to put your question in the chat since this is recorded. We can't unmute anybody other than D or I. So if you have questions, again, I'm trying to make this as generic as possible, but next week for sure, I want to talk about the actual duties and accomplishing these duties other than just being the voice. Like, what does that look like? And other things that we get to do as general service reps. So
awesome. Thank you so much, Heather. Yay! I just so missed the clapping and the loudness of, you know, acting up and cutting up and mm-hmm. that part of it. So mm-hmm. sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, I am of the slow variety. So I want to thank you so much and for breaking it down, you know, mm-hmm. for talking about it from just that beginning part, right? And we'll get into the, you know, the gist of all that next week as well. So for those of you that have questions, please, and John, if some people have trouble with the chat and sending questions, that doesn't mean don't send them, but after we close out the meeting, mm-hmm. if there are some that are more specific that you need more guidance on, I'm sure Heather would be happy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to speak for you, but to give you her information, to contact her and be more, you know. So anyway, with that said, let me start with my first question. So I was winging it, Stalin, for the question to come in. So we have the GSR pamphlet P19 cover recently changed from having on it maybe the most, okay, so from the last one, maybe the most important job in AA to your group's link in AA to AA as a whole. Your thoughts on that change? I do like the addition of page numbers now. Me too. Yay. Mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. says more. Let me just keep, I'm sorry. Next on page one, is it correct to say GSR stood for group service rep before 1953, then GSO was formed a headquarters and the term changed to general service rep? Why did we do that? Thank you, Heather. And you also, D, you guys rock and getting presenters. Oh, hey, look at that. You rock, Heather. Thank you, Heather.
Oh, thank you. Okay, let's see. Well, I can answer the first one because it was an opinion question is, do I like the change of GSR, the most important role, important job in AA? And then could you repeat that, D, just so I don't butcher it?
No problem. Because it was a lot and I was, let's see. So yeah, the two different pamphlets that changed, right? That Biddy's holding it up, right? So, mm-hmm. and I have mine somewhere right here too, but it says, I'm sorry, the questions keep coming in and I'm blowing it up. Yep. So the change is maybe the most important job in AA to mm-hmm. your group's link to AA as a whole. There is a difference in that wording. I got it.
Yep. Yeah, that was right. Okay. So my opinion on that is I love the change. And the reason being is because, and this is just the, I don't like any position to sound elite or more special or better than any other. We're all alcoholics. And when I go around saying like, oh, the coffee maker is just as important as mine, it's really like a, like, I just get a weird feeling in my tummy when I hear that kind of talk. It's not an us versus them. We're all alcoholics. We're all trying, you know, doing our best to stay sober and be good people and give back and however we are able to give back. And so I don't believe there's any one person or one job in Alcoholics Anonymous that is more important than any other. And that's just the space in where I come from in my head and my heart around that. And so I like that it took the putting GSR special or on a pedestal out of it. So that's my opinion on that.
And I don't know if there was a two-part to that. Did your brain catch that? Mine has to compartmentalize so much.
Yeah, the other part of the question about the historical thing, I have no clue.
Okay. I love a woman who knows how to say I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. So. You know what? Before you ask me, John actually sent his question direct to me. And I think Perfect. It's a really great question. It's who makes the final decisions on discussion topics, i.e. publishing a common language AA big book. Well, that is the agenda for the General Service Conference. And what happens is it can be an individual AA member or a group or a district or an area or several areas that will send in agenda items and ask that they be put on the agenda for the General Service Conference. And there is a trustee committee that sets the final agenda. And so that's how the agenda gets set. It's usually based on the volume of responses, or because there's usually more than one that are asking for it. Like, for example, like the online only area or districts that was on the General Service Conference, there was like seven areas and groups that submitted those as topics. And so there seemed to be a need, like it definitely was going to be on the agenda because there was so much interest inquiry about it. And so that's generally how it happens. Now, this common language or a plain language or a current language or a simple language, I've heard it all different ways. There was several requests to have that on the agenda. So it was sent in by AA members and the agenda committee set the agenda. And then the delegates and the trustees voted on all the matters that ended up making it to the floor at the conference. Okay. So I hope that
Wonderful.
Answers.
Thank you.
But I do want to say, like, but that's for conference stuff. Like when it comes to your area or your district, generally it's groups. it's a GSR that's being asked, like, hey, like, I think this should happen in our area. What do you think? Or I think we should talk about this in our district. So it usually is request, you know, if a GSR wants something on the district agenda, they usually ask the DCM or the district committee member. If someone wants something on the agenda at the area level, they usually ask the area chairperson.
Thank you. And also keep in mind, and I know that Heather's touched on this before, that, you know, each area and district is autonomous the same way our groups are. So, you know, what works for one might not work for other, but these are some of the ideas that, you know, you may hear different terminology like quarterly and assembly. We've used both of those. And as a DCM, we don't chair the meetings down here. So instead of me picking apart what I comparing, I'm going to identify and take away the tools that I can from these workshops and, you know, and go from there. And the agenda, as far as to submit an agenda item too, I know that was brought up. I don't remember with who or where recently, but again, we have a link to that, but it's I know it's on our delegates corner on our area web, our area site. But for those of you interested, we'll post a link to that if you want. Along with we do have the conference, the advisory actions as well. I know that most of the delegates, I mean, they haven't been finished, but a lot of them are out there hard at work still on that. So we've had ours. So let's see what the next one is. I am a new GSR and I am completely, I love these new GSR questions, and I am completely overwhelmed. Oh, I'm hugging you from afar. By the amount of information that I need to convey to my group, my heart is feeling heavy. What is the best way to do this and not have people shut down from too much information? Oh, I love this.
First of all, whoever you are, I love you. And take a deep breath, stay calm. It's only general service, really. And that's the hard part is you are elected GSR and all of a sudden you are considered an expert. Didn't you know? You are supposed to understand all the terminology. You better know the traditions backwards and forwards and have a grasp on the concepts too while you're at it. And oh, by the way, you should have read these like 15 pamphlets in a book. Surprise. It's daunting. It's daunting. And I know for me, I was paralyzed into inaction for a while is really what it looked like for me. And if that's where you're at, I hope you are able to get out of it soon. It will get better. First of all, as far as education and learning this stuff is bite size. This is not something that I got by osmosis. Like I didn't just sit there and like learn this stuff. Like I had to actively go to several different like GSR workshops, roundtables, basics, all that kind of stuff. Like you name it, I went to it because I needed to hear this information several times. I don't expect you to remember 1/10 of what we talked about today. I really don't. Like, that's just, it's a lot of information. And also because, I don't know about you, but for me, until I'm able to have an actual practical application, like actually use the information I've learned, it doesn't really stick. And so it usually takes a whole rotation to get an opportunity to use the information I've learned or I've heard and be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Okay, this makes sense now. So there's that. But as far as like reporting back to your group, the best advice I was ever given is to ask my group what they want to hear and how much they want to hear and how much time they'll give me. Because some groups want it all, you know, they'll give their GSR carte blanche and like they want these 30-minute like detail. They want to basically it's like they were at the district meeting. They just didn't go. Like they want all the information. And some groups are like, you get 2 minutes. Make it snappy. Make it interesting. So I would definitely my best advice is ask them what they want and how they want it. Please know that one thing that you know, a GSR is responsible for continuing to report back to their groups, really whether they want it or not, is the financial status. The financial status of their district, area, and general service office. Now, it doesn't have to be every month, especially if they're not, you know, some groups really care about that stuff. Some groups are like, just don't care. So gauging that. But again, this is why we get to know our groups. So I would ask them. And then like, for me, what I did is I asked my group and they're like, well, you can basically have as much time as you need, but you know, don't abuse it. So I tried to keep my reports 5 minutes or less. And what I would do is I would take the minutes from my district meeting, because I was really lucky, is our district secretary would get those minutes out and it happened to come before my home group business meeting. And I would compare the minutes to the notes I took and saw where, you know, I just was happy when it was close. And I would basically summarize what the district secretary gave me. And my home group has an email distribution list. And I would email a pretty thorough report to the home group prior to the business meeting. But then during the business meeting, I would only touch on the highlights, the few things like maybe that my DCM had asked me to bring back to my home group, or that I thought was interesting, or like results, like, hey, you know how the DCM asked us to talk about sending them to PRASA or the Pacific Region Service Assembly? Oh yeah, well, we actually voted for that. And this is what it's going to look like, or whatever. So report back things I found interesting. Of course, I report on all the picnics and potlucks because my group loves that stuff. But so that's what I did. But I would ask, my best advice is to ask your group what they want. But that's what I did. So sorry, that was a pretty lengthy response. I hope that helped.
No, it's beautiful. It's all good. And again, it's the passion that's tied to it. So I'm going to say to those of you that are here, again, thank you, because the questions that we're getting, I mean, they're not, no question is a dumb question unless you don't ask it, unless you go home wishing that you did, mm-hmm. or wishing that you would have had somebody with the experience to talk to about it, not because anybody's better than, but because they've been stuck right where you're at. So thank you for asking these questions.
Yeah. And Dee, before you continue, one thing I forgot to mention is I hope you ask for help.
Yeah.
I hope you're asking for help. So what that looks like is like, ask the last GSR or your sponsor or your DCM or like that old timer, you know, that's been part of the home group forever. Like, hey, you know, or the person, you know, because what I found is what happened to me, and I hope that you're in person soon if you're not already with your group in this, but what I found is during my business meeting, what happened is the old timers who made, they just had it in for me to be a GSR. Like, okay, fine. That was my course. But like, they didn't abandon me when they elected me. They sat by me during the, like, they wouldn't sit by me in the regular meeting, but during the business meeting, they were on either side of me making sure I was okay. So I hope that people are doing that for you. And if they're not doing it, make them do it. Say, hey, you got me into this position. You sit next to me. You can't abandon me. Like, I have no problem. Like, you voluntold me, like I'm voluntelling you, like you were, you're in this boat together. And you know, what I found is until I asked for help, no one really was offering.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's been my experience as a GSR looking to get reimbursed for the beginning. I think we shared that last week. So yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So the answer is no, unless you ask, right? You never know.
Yeah.
So it says here, and again, these are great questions. So it says, so it's district meetings monthly, area assembly quarterly. When GSC is that quarterly also? So I love these questions because again, mm-hmm. it's trying to put it all together. So
yes, yeah, go ahead. Great. So, okay. So yes, district meetings in theory are monthly. Your area should have some sort of, or most likely has some sort of quarterly or area committee meeting or assembly quarterly. And then there's the general service conference, the GSC, the general service conference happens either in April or the beginning of May. And that's when the delegate goes. That's in May. So it's only the delegate. So you don't go to that, but in the month prior
Let's
to that.
Let's take that back to the general service conference. Sorry, we're starting to get, yeah, the GSC. So
yeah.
just
yeah.
I'm making sure we
oh, yeah.
define general, these things because people so are
general,
taking notes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. that's the general service conference. That's in May, or end of April, beginning of May. And so you don't go to that, only the delegates go. And so usually the month prior, you are preparing your delegate to go. And then the month or two following, you're getting the report back from your delegate of what happened. And that may or may not be one of those quarterlies, depending on your area structure. So
it's funny. It's a lot of stuff. Yeah. But I mean, it is, it's a lot of stuff and it can be overwhelming.
And again, this is an excellent, I hope that you ask your DCM, your district committee member, that exact same question at your next district meeting. Like, hey, can I have a calendar? Like where do I need to be? Like, what does my year look like? I'm planning. I need this in my calendar.
And that's another thing. You should have websites, right? A lot of these, you know, a lot of our districts and areas will have websites. Go on there and look for the community, look for the calendars for those upcoming things. If you don't have a physical person, you can ask, you know, if you have a like gray area, gray district or what have you. Let's see here. Do you think it is better to do a verbal report at my home group's business meeting? This you might have already answered, or hand out written reports. You said do both, right? You email it first and then you.
Yeah, I would email it and I would do a verbal and then it would go into the minutes. And I did like print out like a few of my reports sometime, but what I found is some people would like look at it when I was giving my report and then I'd find it on the table after the meeting and have to throw it away. And that irritated me. But also like, I don't like killing trees. So I don't print things unless I have to, but I'm from Washington. So you expect me to be a tree hugger. So do you.
It's so cute. Speaking of tree hugging, you'll love that. We put all kinds of stuff in these links that are in this file that we put together, like your notebook for you. So you can do whatever you want with that, whether you want to keep them on your computer, print them, download, whatever. Everything is there. What she shows you, the GSR kit is there, the GSR pamphlet, the service manual, all of that is in there. Mm-hmm. So what path of area offices or officers did you travel through to become alt delegate, Heather?
Oh, okay. So let me see, it started, okay, GSR, General Service Rep. Then I was district committee member, DCM. And then I stood for an elected position and was not elected, but then I was appointed by our six newly elected officers as the area accessibility chair. And then after that, I stood and was elected area treasurer. And then I was elected area alternate chair and then area chair and now area alternate delegate.
Thank you. And somebody else asked, what would your next step be if the minutes aren't accurate and omit a voice from the group that isn't welcome?
Well, if the minutes, like I'm assuming we're talking about like the district minutes.
Yeah. So let's see. It says, what would your next step be if the minutes aren't accurate and omit a voice from the group that isn't welcome? So maybe if you want to send me that one a little more clarified, because I think it's still a little bit, you know, and then we'll wait because I have something else for you to answer that's kind of funny. Okay. So to that person that typed that, just send me in a little more clarification on what you're talking about, what minutes, whose minutes, and being not accurate, omitting a voice from the group that isn't welcome. So what is a, we know what, when we're talking about minority, that's something different, but what is a potluck? I know what a potluck is, but what is a potluck? I'm not familiar with that term here in Australia. And I love the person that asked that.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, sorry. A potluck is a gathering where everybody brings a dish, some food to share. So, and usually in AA, we split it up like A through H has to bring a main dish and, you know, L through M has to bring salads. And anyways, it's fun. It's a lot of food, way too much food.
Mm-hmm. Cute. Mm-hmm. So I'm not seeing anything, but I'm waiting
to direct to me.
Oh, good. You go ahead. Do that while I look through mine.
Okay. How did your district DCM set up the GSR report on the district agenda? Was it the same each month? What type of things were reported regularly? It's funny you should ask that, Karen, because it's changed a lot on Zoom. It's been really interesting. DCMs have been getting really creative, more creative than I think I've seen DCMs in the past be. So, what I've been seeing happening is the DCMs have been changing up the agenda trying new things because they were finding that their normal agenda format just kind of was stale on Zoom. And so they kind of changed up the order. And so I'd say, again, each district is autonomous. And so I'd say there are plenty of districts that do the same thing every month and have been for 10 years and nothing's changed and the order's always the same and the questions are the same. And then there's some districts where, you know, they're trying new stuff. And the really cool part is DCMs should have the autonomy to do that, to change the agenda, to kind of change things up. And hopefully they're appropriately using their delegated authority to do that. And generally what happens if the groups, the GSRs don't like how the DCM is running the meeting or how the agenda is set up, they usually have zero problem letting the DCM know, like, hey, we hate this, like, change it up. And they do. So report it regularly. A lot of times it's group issues and concerns. Is generally a lot of the main stuff. Hopefully it's issues and concerns. I know one DCM in our area started a cool thing where they're asking questions about like their reopening strategy, like where they are, because groups are trying, they're coming out of Zoom and maybe doing hybrid or reopening just in person or staying online. So having that conversation is a lot of the DCM is encouraging that, but each district is different. It really is. I've never been to a district and seen it done the same way. And I've been to a lot. I've been to almost every district in my area and there's 42 of them and they do it different.
Yeah. We don't get to share our meetings here at the district as far as DCMs don't participate in that. When I hear that, I'm like, I wish I had a little more control. My only job is to keep the groups on with the registrar connected, you know, like make sure the registrar is up to date with the groups that are, you know, the change of forms and the ones that are added.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you have other questions? Let me know, because I have a few more too, and some clarification on that one.
Well, I see a question that came through to everyone. What's the difference between, I don't know if this is a question. Contributions and donations.
Oh, no, that's not a question. Okay, that was just
a what is a potluck?
Potluck, okay. So I have the one that you that asked about the, it's about omitting a home group voice from the district. So that's what that was about with minutes. So minutes in the district omitting a home group's voice from the district. Let me go back to that question. So what would your next step be if the minutes, meaning the district minutes, omitting a home group's of voice of that district aren't accurate and omit a voice from the group that isn't welcome?
That's not cool.
It is.
Well, you, we all get the opportunity to stand up for what's not right and stand up against that. So you get to say something at your district meeting and call it out and say, hey, or, I mean, you could be more tactful than I probably would be in the situation. I might call up or email the secretary and be like, hey, I'm looking over the minutes and I see that, and actually you might want to do this. I'm looking over the minutes and I see that like Aspel CISA group, they were participating in this discussion. I don't see anything about that in there. Like, I'm sure it was just an oversight. Could you add that in and resend the minutes and then see what happens? And then if nothing happens, then it's perfectly appropriate to say something at the district meeting and be like, what's going on? And then, yeah, go from there. But, so those are fun. And also that question is exactly the kind of question that I hope you have someone locally or that you have in your back pocket to help you when you come across those things, whether it's your sponsor, your service sponsor, your DCM, past GSR, old timer in your home group, it doesn't matter. I hope you have someone that will help you with this stuff, because that stuff's sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And we can make
it. Yeah, that can turn you off. That's right. We can make it exactly work or work against us. You know, we can lose people that way. And I've seen done both.
Yeah.
So it seems like you have to be fairly proficient in secretarial skills, academic ability, plus computer skills. I'm feeling you overwhelmed here. I'm going to keep going. Super scary and more often than not, not even possible. So at what point would you suggest that a person just give up and allow someone more qualified?
Well, I think I'm always going to say no to giving up. Because I hope you're asking for help. That's also a way an alternate GSR can be an amazing resource. Is we, in my home group, for example, we've had, you know, GSRs that really struggle in certain areas. Like they have a really hard time taking notes or things. And so I was like, hey, just, why don't you ask your alternate, like that could be their main job, is like, could you take notes for me? And so that's one where I hope that your group has an alternate as well to help you out. And also, I think it's okay to tell the group, like, hey, I'm feeling totally overwhelmed, like at the business meeting, be like, I'm overwhelmed and I want to be a good GSR and I'm struggling and I need help. And hopefully they come to a solution to give you the help you need. But I can tell you too, like all these things I'm talking about, like I've become much more organized than I was when I was GSR over a decade ago. I am much better with my Outlook calendar than I was a decade ago. I'm much more proficient with taking notes and attentively listening in meetings and all these things because I've had lots of practice. But when I was a GSR, I didn't pay attention in district meetings. Are you kidding me? Like that's what the minutes are for. Like I would try, but like I couldn't sit still. Like I still was twitchy, you know, like it was rough. And like, you know, I'd like to say I was like the ideal GSR, but I'd be a really good GSR now. But like, and I mean, I did the job, but like, I stress myself out a lot. When I talk about sending the report, yeah, I sent the report 5 minutes before our business meeting, not like anybody had any time to read it before the business meeting. Sometimes I forgot to send it. Sometimes I forgot to have a report. Sometimes I forgot to go to the district meeting, you know, but you have 24 opportunities to get it right. And hopefully by your 20th, you're in a groove. It is really, I mean, what, you know, so.
If you can't do the math, that's 2 years, what she's talking about.
Sorry. Yeah, you have 24 months. So you have 24 opportunities. You have 24 business meetings. You have 24 district meetings to get it right. And I'm doing right in air quotes, because really, is there really a right way or wrong way as long as information gets conveyed in a way that people can understand? I don't think there is. You're doing good. Don't give up. Please don't give up.
And I think a lot of us have been there. That's probably one of the biggest reasons asking for help, because when you ask that person, and not on a form like this, not that I'm saying don't do it here, but when I found that I was frustrated in my own area and that I've even went to service studies in different areas, like I'm on the border of two areas, right? I live in one, I mean, I'm in one, but I went to study in the other, it was closest. I got to convey that frustration. I got to talk about these ideas and hammer out where I could go with this or how I could get help with that. Even though there wasn't anybody directly near me, but I found places, and that's what it's all about, continuing to reach out. So let's see, here is, I love that question. Oh, I know, here's a good one. Get ready, Heather. How do you find time to sponsor?
Ah, that's a great question. Well, I can tell you that that's something I talked quite a bit with my sponsor and with my service sponsor throughout the years about this. And because I am very adamant that if I become too busy to step sponsor people, that I need to reassess my priorities and get my act together, because I should always be sponsoring, period. What I found is I used to sponsor 3, 4, 5 gals at a time, going through the book all at the same time, all new, like all crazy, you know. I don't have that many at a time anymore going through. And what happened is I didn't have to do anything. It just happened to be like, I would just get like, I might get 5 people to ask me to sponsor, but I only am ever actively working with 2. And that's just how it happens. Because I go to a treatment center every Friday night. So I get asked to sponsor at least twice a month. Like I'm always getting new sponsees that I never hear from again. It's that kind of thing. But, and I can handle 2. I can handle 2. And then there was a time where, I mean, it was about 8 years where every single person that asked me to sponsor them wasn't new. They wanted a new experience with the steps, which is a different kind of commitment I found as a sponsor. But now I'm getting new gals again. And it's fun. But again, it just seems to only be 2 at a time. But that is definitely something where, but I'm very careful. Like I don't ever say I'm busy. I strongly encourage as you embark in any sort of service, what inside or outside of AA, I found it's helpful to, I don't say I'm busy, I'm scheduled. Because I had sponsees being like, oh, I didn't call you because you're so busy. I know you're so busy. You can always call me. So just like little things I've had to do to make sure that the people I am sponsoring realize that they're welcome to still connect with me, no matter how scheduled I become. But I had to learn that one the hard way. I lost a couple sponsees because I thought I was too busy.
I appreciate your honesty and transparency with that. Yeah, because that's so important.
Yeah.
Getting stuck in sometimes serving, you know, and then still not working step 12.
And I had to learn some of that the hard way. I've overcommitted. I've replaced my recovery meetings with service meetings and been batty and, had to, get on my knees. And so, I'm finding now I don't have to be in as much pain as I used to be to make some change, but it's a journey. And, sometimes I learn by completely smashing my face into a wall, and that's okay.
I love you. You sound like me. I need a 2x4 in the house falling in. Yeah. Hey, why not?
Well, and I have a 2x4 prayer. I say, God hit me over the head with it. It's my 2x4 prayer. Yeah. So
you like pain, apparently. I would not be praying that one. Sorry, dear. Okay. How can I get a group excited about our local district service committee work, such as PI, TPC, Grapevine, et cetera? And then I'll just throw this out there because it kind of works with it. A jaded old timer in my home group asked me, are you taking their inventory, by the way, whoever sent that to me? So a jaded old timer in my home group asked me, what does general service have to do with their current sobriety today? What do I tell them? Gosh, I get that all the time too. Anyway, DCM.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I want you to answer that one. So the first one about how to get people excited. Unfortunately or unfortunately, it starts with the messenger. You're the messenger. So what would excite you about this position? I look at it and I'll definitely talk a lot about this next week, but you're giving a report. We have a couple positions open at the district meeting. There's corrections and I think some PI. I think I have some information about that somewhere. I'm not really sure. Yeah, just talk to me about it after the meeting. Guess what, folks? There's a couple of positions open at district. We have a corrections position open. How cool is that? You get to help, folks that are at the local penitentiary over here and getting literature into them. I hear they're starting to take some meetings in there and wow, we could really use some volunteers. So if you want to help head that up, the district would be really grateful for that. Or I also hear there's a Grapevine and literature position open in our district. And who doesn't love grapevine. Like, how fun would that be to like go peddle grapevines? Like, hey, come hang out with me. Like, it's the messenger. It's the messenger. And so again, you have 24 home group business meetings to figure out how to be the best messenger possible. Also, another thing you could do is invite people from your district. Talk to your home group first about it, but invite them to your district, your home group, to talk about the positions. They're more than likely, your DCM is probably more than willing to come to your district meeting, or your home group business meeting, I mean, and talk to you. Talk to
your
stuff. So yeah. Yeah. And well, and I don't know what D says, but I would be a total smart aleck if someone said, what does general service have to do with my recovery today? I'd be like, well, why don't you come to the next district meeting with me next month and I'll show you, is what I would say. But I don't know exactly how you handle it.
I would agree with you. And I'll tell you, you and I would get in a lot of trouble, but I mean, in a good way, maybe. But yeah, what I did recently was I took those advisory actions to all the groups. And of course, the first thing they're going to do is complain. Now they want to know what it has to do with their sobriety, right? So when they start to complain, then I hand them that GSR pamphlet and tell them why it's so important that their non-represented group maybe get represented, right? And why they have a voice and why it's so important, you know? Those are just some of the small things. But my area too seems to only, not my area, my district or my town direct to me, seems to only want to talk about, right, those Founders Day gratitude dinners, fish fries, and yeah, it's kind of like your potluck stuff, you know, our ice cream social, you know, and yeah. But yeah, we just keep doing what we have to do, right? And grateful for those that we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, but what it has to do with is I'm helping make 12-step work possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's doing for my recovery today, is I'm helping make 12, you know, I may not see the results ever, but I have to believe that the work I'm doing is helping make 12-step work possible, or else why would I be doing this? Well, I would not spend this much time over a decade doing this if I didn't think it was helping the alcoholic who still suffers inside and outside of these rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's where you read why we need a conference, and that'll just let them try to read that without a tear in their eye and tell me they don't have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
You know, when they get done reading it, that's at least been my experience. Mm-hmm. I send that out to everybody. I like that. That's my new tool to whack them over the head with. At least in this town, they've never opened up that, what you thought, some of the best stuff is in that dry manual if you just open it up and look.
Yeah, I don't know. It's very interesting. Yeah. So yeah,
it is. All right, we're going to close up. So there's might be a few stragglers if you'll hang around, because we are up on time. So somebody wants to know, reading what makes me cry. So if you look on page S20 of the service manual and read why we need a conference, written by the late Bernard Smith on S20. Yep, look, Biddy's got it, I betcha. So it is so beautiful. And it was, I never knew it in the 2 years I was a GSR. It tells you I never went past that page. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, look at it now. Use that. Because on that page, when you read that, whether you have a child or don't, as an alcoholic, knowing that this was here for you, I wanted to be here for the next sick and suffering alcoholic that needs this thing. So I think it's beautiful. But anyway, I'm going to close up. Heather, I thank you so much for being with us. We'll close up. And if you guys have a few moments, Heather will, I hear silence in the house. Maybe she'll be able to help us. So.